Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. We back after how many years?
I don't know about years.
But I don't know, it feels like shit. This is episode 301.
301.
Still consistent. We're still the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell yeah.
The illogical sense. This is your boy, Buzz B.
And over here is your boy, JC. Good. Yup.
How the fuck you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. So
know what y'all wondering.
Yeah, so to preface real quick, because I want to get in and out.
Don't keep leave that. You should have went the fucking in and out. Instead of fucking Oakland.
Yeah, we'll dive into that. But to preface real quick, I want to get in and out with this topic. I had a very serious personal matter that needed my undivided attention, and I talked with Buzzby, and we needed to shut down the recording process immediately. Initially, I thought it was going to be something that was going to be, you know, very quick, but it ended up being a while. To Buzzby's credit, I appreciate it. He didn't, you know, was a good friend, good brother. We weren't pressed for time. It was, you know, when I needed to come back, and by the time everything started smoothing out, it was the holiday season, and we were like, you know what, after everything I've gone through, let's just cherish the moments with our families, and let's just regroup, and let's come back in the next year. And we're back in the next year. We're good.
It's 24.
Our bike.
And also, but around the time period where we kind of stopped doing it, there wasn't shit I wanted to talk about. And I think JC kind of felt the same way. Even he was dealing with what he was dealing with. There wasn't shit I wanted to talk about. Even the music was just kind of just like, bleh. Everything just felt so bleh until, you know, NFL season started. But I just didn't feel like talking. So you all saw me on Twitter. I was really happy I went up to we got up to 300 episodes. But then I felt like if we would have recorded, it would have just felt like filler. Because it was just shit I just did not want to talk about. But now, we back. There's a lot of shit I want to talk about.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Dun, 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 dun.
Should have told me to play the shit, dog. I'm going to look it up. You know the vibes. The NFL. Yeah. We missed the whole regular season.
Felt like a lockout.
Well,
we could kind of combine it. NFL and NCAA. Deion Sanders first year at Colorado. Ooh, those first 3 weeks, boy.
Oh, they were great. that was great.
And then after that, oh boy.
Oh boy, I didn't watch no more.
Nope.
Great, baby.
Oh, man.
Then we pour out.
Yeah. What happened to your chef?
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
I saw that the first 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
I love that damn team for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Oh. Colorado was an HBCU for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. They had the Rock in the fucking locker room. Lil Wayne rapped them out. Fucking rapper Cameron was chilling back there. Best part about that whole shit after that game against Colorado, which probably was game of the year, Colorado State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they showed it behind the scenes. Deion was telling them, like, yeah, y'all got to get your shit together. Duh, 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 duh. You know, you got to cherish this win. Hey, Key Glock, get up here and just perform for everybody. Key Glock went up there and performed. Ah, shit.
And the funny thing was how all the, well, at the time, naysayers was a very different, had a very different meaning in 2023 than it does now in 2024. Yeah. At the time,
let a naysayer know.
At the time, 2023 naysayers.
Naysayers got to know. Yeah. Oh boy, that was.
Naysayers in 2023 were saying, oh, he didn't do all that at Jackson State. But little did they know, hey, all he had to do was go and look at the footage. And
he didn't do that. And, you know,
Young Dolph, rest in peace, was, you know, showing up to Jackson State. Key Glock was showing up with him at Jackson State. They was all showing up at Jackson State. And he just was, you know, new place, new environment. And
still primetime, baby. Yeah. I was pulling for primetime, but then Oregon happened. Oregon, yeah.
They wasn't pulling for primetime.
Oh, boy. What did that coach say? They out for clicks, we out for wins, or some shit like that? You know, it was all first, and they ran the score up on them niggas. And after that, it was fun no more. I watched when I watched. Then that Stanford game happened. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I thought the game was over. I ended up going to a bar, and I looked at my phone, and them motherfuckers caught up, and then I watched the rest of the game at the bar on my phone, and I'm like, these niggas caught up and won the game. None but slants.
Busby text me. He said, you watching this shit? All I did was text me. I said, I know. I know.
Nothing but slants. But anyway, that's neither here.
Well, that's college.
That's college.
That's college until we get to later.
Yeah.
Yeah, NFL. Busby hit me week one. Was like, oh, see, look. Niners want to know. Your Raiders want to know. Be optimistic, my guy. And I was like, just wait for it.
I could say be optimistic.
Just wait.
Okay. Well, I'll go with the joke. Yeah.
Just wait for it. And sure enough, Josh McDaniels.
You're fired! It took how many weeks?
One too long.
Yeah. The breaking point for me was when he sat Garoppolo and then put in the fucking, what's your rookie QB? What was his name? Campbell?
Nah.
It was Campbell, wasn't it?
No, O'Donnell, McDonald. I don't know. He ain't going to be the quarterback next year.
Obviously. Yeah, but...
But it's not his fault.
Yeah,
it's definitely not his fault.
And then he went up there and blamed him and didn't take no accountability for the shit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, he got to go. He got to go. And then after one bad game with Devontae, when your boy Devontae just got fed the fuck up, was the equivalent of the Kobe death stare.
Yeah. Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Campbell.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he went out there against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And Khalil Mack, it's always against Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Shout out my dog, Big Mac.
Yeah.
It's always against Khalil Mack. Went out there and had 6 sacks by himself.
Nope.
And then Josh McDaniels had the audacity to go out there and say, you know, oh, he's got to be better. And it's like, no, this is not only his first start, it's his first game.
Period.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Y'all could have had C.J. Stroud. No, they could have had somebody else. There was some other quarterback.
C.J. Stroud.
It was C.J. Stroud?
Yes, it was.
Oh, but he wanted Garoppolo. He wanted Jimmy G.
Yeah, didn't want to draft C.J. Didn't want to trade up for the number 2.
He wanted porn star Jimmy. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
Porn star Jimmy got a nice bag, so he going to be chilling on the bench for now. But, yes, and after that, Josh McDaniels got fired after that game. It was the Chargers game, or was it?
No, the Lions game.
The Lions game. Yeah, that's when he sat him down.
Yeah, when the reports came out. That in the team meeting when he called on Antonio Pierce, who was assistant coach at the time, or a linebacker's coach. And he went up there and said, you know, that we need to develop a culture. You know, when I was with the Giants, then that year we went and beat the Patriots. And boy, that struck a nerve with Josh McDaniels.
It was like something just... It was like Belichick just came in his mind.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, don't talk about the Patriots. And
don't disrespect the Patriots.
And everybody looked around and said, do you know where you are right now?
Is it was after you said that in a Raider facility as the head coach? If Al Davis,
what kind of shit is that?
Was alive, he would have. He would have haunted that place. There would have been some poltergeist shit.
And word got up to Mark Davis. And, guess who's going to tell
the lie? Somebody did this.
To some great, oh, Did great
I
news.
The, I think I sent the news to you. I
great,
think
great news. It. Great news. Nah, because it was at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning when that news broke. Mm-hmm. All great news. Great, great news. Mm-hmm. He was gone. Antonio Pierce took over.
And it was nothing. As soon as they won that first game, that nigga was, everyone in the Crosby was smoking cigars. They're dancing. They became the team of the culture. Oh, not only did McDaniels get fired, the GM got fired too.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel bad for him because it was just like, he's the one that says it came out. He's the one that wanted C.J. Stroud, but Josh McDaniels wanted Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, casualty in war. Oh, well.
Yeah, but Raiders finished the season 5-4 under Antonio Pierce.
Hopeful 5-10. It was a 5-what?
They finished the season 5-4.
Oh, 5-4. Yeah.
It's 8-9 overall, but you know,
shit.
5-4 under Tory Pierce. So of course I forget. The first lady of the Raiders, mm-hmm. in the executive position, but becomes the first organization, of course, her position. And then Antonio Pierce as head coach, and then the interim general manager, of course, Antonio Pierce as interim head coach.
All black.
And then the interim general manager, all three of those positions filled, not only by black people, but of course, her position being a woman, a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good moment to see.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, when they went into Kansas City on Christmas Day.
That was, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I watched the Nickelodeon broadcast.
So did I.
Again, it was just hilarious when they cut to the commentary and you see two grown-ass men and then an AI Ninja Turtle chilling there. I'm like, I'm not off mushrooms. This shit's hilarious. And he was just sitting there casually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, Patrick Mahomes gave that game away. Yep. Not one fumble, but two. What was it? It was a fumble and an interception.
In 7 seconds.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe he did that shit. I'm like, oh my God.
In 7 seconds. And then helped out because there was no completed pass for the Raiders after the first quarter.
None but run plays.
Yep.
They could not stop the run.
Yeah.
They could not stop the run. In front of Taylor Swift, best part about that was when you see after the game. They showed Taylor Swift and Patrick Mahomes' wife in the suite, and she's just holding on to Patrick Mahomes' wife, and she just mouths the word, "Yep,
yep,"
and then the score came up.
Raiders.
Oh yeah, Taylor Swift and Trevor Lawrence. that kind of made more sense.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce are a thing now. That's one thing. That was a thing. Right. Still is a thing.
Russell Wilson, grand opening, grand closing.
Oh my God, yeah. I still can't believe that happened.
I'm glad that if there was ever a reason to beat the Broncos, I'm glad. I mean, I'm not really the biggest Russell Wilson fan, but just off GP,
mm-hmm.
For football players everywhere, that, you know, shouldn't happen.
It really should not have happened the way they treated him.
Yeah.
Unless you're a fucking Falcons fan. Unless you're like not a Seahawks fan and you still bitter about how everything went down with him.
Right.
It was fucked up how they did it.
Yeah. But that completes the Raiders season.
Oh man.
Niners.
Nigga. Brock Purdy gunshots for Glock 13.
And I've been waiting, baby.
We are the number one seed. I actually went to a Niner game this season with Martin against the Bucks. That was fun. I saw greatness that day. Brock Purdy is him. He had a perfect QB rating that game. And when me and Martin left, he looked at his phone and was like, yo, I see an alert that Brock had a fucking perfect QB rating. And it's never, and that has only been done twice by Steve Young and Joe Montana. Those are the names that keep popping up when it comes to Brock Purdy. He was an MVP candidate this year.
Yeah.
After this is his first full season. Not because, like, you know, last year was like six games. This is his first full season. He made the Pro Bowl. And everybody, the media, just don't want to give him his props. And it kind of rubs me the wrong way. I'm not saying he should have won MVP because the Ravens made sure of that on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah.
But man, yeah, but other than that, man, we're the number one seed in the playoffs, and we don't have a game this week, but next week we're going to know who our opponents are, and we'll see where it goes. I ain't guaranteeing nothing, because this is like the third time this doesn't happen in my lifetime, okay? So I'm not getting my hopes up. I'm just like, let's see what happens, because everything on paper, it looks great, but it looked great the year before. Well, I was just in denial because Jimmy G was there. But then with the Ravens, it looked great. You know, when we went against the Ravens with Harbaugh, that looked great. So maybe third time's a charm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This has been a wide open NFL season.
Really? No one really got dominant. No, there really wasn't no dominant team. I mean, we're dominant, but there was like no wide dominant team this season, if that makes any sense.
the Lions, I mean,
well, man, Dan Campbell, boy.
That's a
Dan Campbell.
That's a wild boy.
That's a wild boy.
Hey, on one hand, I'm gonna air the horn.
He got the Lions.
He got them looking right. But then on the flip side, hey,
somebody did this.
That was game.
Hey, man,
had the game, and then when they, the funny thing about it is that the commentators were saying, you know, when he scores, he's not gonna tie it. He's gonna go for two. That's how aggressive his play calling is. So lo and behold, they did score. And Dan Campbell was like, no, we're putting these niggas to sleep. It's like on some Dr. Umar. Fuck God! So. Yeah. Why you gotta do that? Oh, yeah. So you don't have it?
No, not yet.
So they do the play. It was a fucking trick play to the lineman. But then the ref threw the flag. And then they got pissed off because it was a flag. But so you would think, okay, let's kick the field goal. Dan Campbell was like, fuck God! Went for it again. Then Michael Parsons jumped off sides. And then again.
It's like, all right, just go for the PAT. It's like, nah, we're going.
I said, fuck God!
Yeah, and it's like, why? Why? For what?
Oh shit!
You can legitimately go to overtime, and you can end them in overtime.
No, fuck like, these niggas! That's why I give them respect. It was like, fuck these niggas,
and they lost.
They lost, but I gotta give them respect for it.
It was
one of those like that was stupid. It was stupid, but I respect it.
It was confusing. Like all you could do is just say, "Yeah, it's the Lions." Like.
No, it's Dan Campbell.
No, it's at the end of the day, it's the Lions. It's Dan Campbell's Lions, but it's the Lions.
It's the Lions. It's the game. Yeah. But then, like, people were like, well, he wanted to see if he could keep the number one seed and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, eh. Anyway. Playoffs.
Yeah, so Ravens and the Niners secured the number one seeds.
So we get the bye.
So those are the byes. This week, as we're recording, it is the night before the wild card officially starts. So we're just going to run down, going into everything in order. Mm-hmm. The first game that starts off is Texans and Browns. Who you got? That's the four and number five.
First off, shout out to D'Amico Ryans, former Niner defensive coordinator, rookie coach. In my opinion, rookie of the year, coach of the year. He got the Texans out of the ghetto, not out of Oakland, but out of the ghetto, and got them to the playoffs with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, boy, that's a boy.
Yep.
But that Cleveland defense, the Niners know, like that defense is not to be fucked with.
And Flacco.
We went from nasty ass Deshaun Watson. They went through three QBs, and now Joe Flacco's the fourth QB. And now, shit, he might be comeback player of the year. But my picks, man, I want to go for Houston, but defense wins championships.
I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'm about to say that. I'm going with the Browns.
I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'll go with the Browns.
Yep.
It's good defense.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Next game to close out is on Peacock only. I see a lot of people complaining about.
Mad about Peacock. Nigga, I've been watching WWE on there for the past few years.
Like, damn, y'all ain't got the five? Niggas ain't got the five.
He ain't got the five. Niggas that complain. Dude, they showed it on Christmas. There was a Peacock game. Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
It was a Peacock game.
You 2024 naysayers ain't got the five.
Sad.
Number three, Chiefs versus the six Dolphins. The hard knock the Dolphins.
It was a good season. I like Michael McDaniels. Just that season.
The negative 30 degree.
Wind chill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Kansas City. Kansas City is just, they were very struggled. They won games, but they were struggling. The receivers cannot catch balls at all. Miami's been up and down. They can put up 60, then get blown out by 50 in any given day. So I don't know. But for whatever, I know the weather's against them, but I feel Miami is going to pull this out because I do not trust those Kansas City receivers.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins, too, just off the simple fact that even when you take the ball out of Tua's hands, you still have Raheem Mostert and Davion. Davion, I forget the rookie's running back.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I
forget his last name, but he killed it for me in fantasy. you still got him on the ground. Mm-hmm. You take the ball out of Mahomes' hand. You're actually doing the Chiefs a disservice. As bad as Mahomes is actually,
because if Kelsey's not having a good day, it's a wrap. it's literally a wrap.
Yeah, because they got no receivers.
And that's the story. That's the story of the whole season. They could have had DeAndre Hopkins, but they were like, "No, we want a Super Bowl without receivers. We could do that." Football gods were like, "Ha." Okay.
Right.
So I feel this is gonna be the very first round knockout for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I'll be shocked if they win. I'll be shocked.
I honestly think I'll be shocked just because of that -30 and the home field.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with the Dolphins. So that's at the Saturday games, and then to open up the Sunday games. So this is crazy, bro. So you got the number 2 Bills and the number 7 Steelers. This is supposed to be in Buffalo. They're talking about this is 65-mile-per-hour wind, wind speed.
It's going to be a snowy-ass
game. They're talking about don't come to the game.
They told Pittsburgh fans, do not come to New York. Not because it's violent, but it is the weather is dangerous, and you probably won't find your way home. And
just for that, I'm going with the Bills.
And just off that, the Bills were, a few weeks ago, they were in the hunt. And then after the Jaguars fucked it all up, they became the number 2 seed. But I'm going with Buffalo.
I feel
the Bills are going to make a run. They might make it to Vegas. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's just smart. The next game on Sunday is number 2 Cowboys versus the number 7 Packers. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Cowboys made a run towards the end of the season.
I don't trust the Cowboys.
They got it unlocked.
I don't trust the Cowboys. That's the thing. I don't trust these niggas. I know Dak Prescott didn't have a good year against weak-ass teams, but see, Martin put me on to Jordan Love, and I felt Jordan Love was pretty, mid. And then he's like, nah, Jordan Love's that guy, man. I'm like, oh, no. So I watched his last few games. And I'm like, okay. And the Cowboys are undefeated at home for now. I guess the fucking Cowboys.
Jordan Love, he's good. He's just they're inexperienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're really inexperienced. They had a nice year, and they're playing with house money with that inexperience.
Yeah,
too. So they could get. This is the time for them to get experience. Just Cowboys have been there.
Speaking of house money, Detroit and the Rams. Rams didn't think they were gonna make the playoffs, but they're playing with house money now.
Yeah, they are.
So they're like they remind me of the 2021 Niners. That's how we were. Huh, man, this game is going to be a war because we got Matt Stafford goes back to his home, to his roots, and Jared Goff wants revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Mike McDaniel's going to have revenge, too, because he's going against his old team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of storylines right there. I'm going to go with Detroit.
I'm going to go with Detroit, too, but I think this one's going to go down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. I feel that, too. This might be one of them games.
I'm actually glad this one's closing out Sunday.
Because on Monday, Tampa Bay and Philadelphia Eagles were 10-1 before they went against the Niners. And then they went 1-5 after they went against the Niners. Niners destroyed them niggas in Philly, gave other teams the blueprint, and them niggas went on a 1-5 run. The team is injured. They're battered. They look like they want to go home. Like, they just don't look like that same team from last year, dog. They want to go home.
Yeah, they want to go home. Just not this week. I got them against the Bucks.
I feel Baker Mayfield going to put on. I don't think he's going to put on a show, but I feel they're going to pull it out.
The way Baker Mayfield left the field after one of the series last week, it didn't look too good. But they were forced. They had to play him because in the Saints and Falcons game.
Oh.
In the Saints Falcons game. They had to play because if the Bucks lost that game, the Saints were going to end up winning the division, and they had they had to keep playing them.
Mm-hmm.
So Baker Mayfield himself isn't necessarily 100%.
But he's gonna tough it out.
Yeah, Jameis Winston just
was on podcast.
Yeah, he was in everything, man. That's a man of the people. He is the people's champ.
It was funny because me and Marty were talking about it. And Marty was like, man, that's fucked up. If I was his teammate, I would have socked him. I'm like, you would have socked him? You know why he did it, right? He was like, why? Because old boy needed incentives. So if I found out I'm a touchdown away from getting $1 million incentive and we're at the 1 yard line, you're not going to give me the ball? HBO quarterback sneak blast on one. I mean, am I right?
I just love his response. Well, I really just loved his response.
Which part?
I mean, it's everything, but really when he broke it down, he's like, you know, basically, you know, you were already down, you know, 41-17. I don't know how much worse he could have gotten.
which is right.
Yeah.
You were at the 1 yard line too.
I just loved everything else that followed, you know, when the Falcons coaches that went to the field all mad, then the black coach came behind, you know, bitch ass motherfucker. And I knew what that meant because they were going to end up on the Monday Black Monday list.
And sure enough, they didn't even make it to Black Monday.
No, they did.
I thought it was on Sunday.
No, it made it to 9 p.m. our time, but it was 12:01 their time.
Well, yeah, old boy.
Somebody did this.
We're going Bucks. I'm going to go Eagles. But that leads into the head coaching changes. So, yeah, Arthur Smith and his staff got fired out the Falcons. Mike Vrabel got fired from the Titans.
That was shocking.
Ron Rivera got fired from the Commanders.
That was shocking.
Again, the Raiders already let. So, the Raiders, the Chargers, Panthers, they fired their coaches during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll, he's out from the Seahawks.
That was shocking. I did not see that shit coming.
And then the biggest one, which was kind of on the surface, we were kind of expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it still shocks you when you actually see it in print. Bill Belichick, after 24 years.
Six rings.
Yeah. No more with the Patriots. Gone.
End of an era.
Yep.
I mean, after the season he had, the shit he was doing, sitting down fucking Mac Jones when there was a minute left and putting your backup to try to win the game. I was like, yeah, you got to go, bro. Like, the game done passed him by.
Yeah.
I'd be telling everyone that shit, and everyone was like, I wouldn't fire Belichick. Look at everything he's done. I had to hit that wire croak. Think about the old days. Those are the old days. Hey, yeah. Man, one of the best coaches of all, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Cheating or not, can't prove it. So, Deflate Gate, the Spy Gate, don't matter. Got these six rings, nigga. They got that fucking Patriots, I guess, Last Dance documentary is going to be on Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm calling it. And they're talking to everyone that used to play there. And, oh, man, the one quote, I forgot who it was from, but he said, we worked for Bill, but we played for Tom. I was like, ugh, shit. Yikes. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be pretty much like the week after the Super Bowl. That's when it starts. Yeah. It's a 10-part miniseries.
More football.
ESPN. Hey, man. Hey, Apple TV got it before ESPN could.
Right. Yeah, so Jerod Mayo is going to take over, which I guess he had a clause in his contract.
Really?
As a coach. He was the successor.
Well, they gave him that Coach Boom. They're going to give him that Coach Boom treatment from Remember the Titans?
Yep.
Yeah, one bad season, you're gone, homie. I hope he does good.
But I don't think he's gonna get that because he was listed as the successor. That's just one job you just don't wanna follow. But at the same time, too, if it's already written in your contract, you're the successor, so be it.
And he knew what he was getting. He knew Belichick was gonna leave eventually.
Yeah,
Robert Kraft probably told him too. So I mean, that word was going out like weeks even before the last week of the game. They said Belichick is most likely gone after this season.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's the NFL. Mm. Then we got back to college to close this out. So we had the college playoff that started off the week. Big Blue.
Michigan, man. I almost was in tears when Michigan won because I was like, I was legit happy for Harbaugh for doing that.
Yep.
You know, he got the fuck up out of there before they started cracking down on him. So, it was like a heist. Bye.
That's what I'm talking about. This shit means something to me, man.
Yeah, man. That's going to be me tonight. I'm winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. Shout out to Harbaugh. Shout out to Michigan. Jim Harbaugh. Now, Jim Harbaugh might be on his way back to the NFL.
Yeah. There's a lot of vacancies. You can pick.
Then I go to Seattle.
Man.
Boy. Man. My homeboy. Nah, dog. And people go, that's never going to happen. He'll never work with Pete Carroll. I'm like, Vince McMahon hired Eric Bischoff. that's wrestling. No, wrestling is life.
I'm about to say, man.
This is life.
First of all, you ever seen rap?
You see Jay-Z and Nas squash the shit?
You ever seen rap, nigga?
Bro, dude. I don't want that to happen. There's a lot of places. Where would you want him to go? Or where do you think he'll go? If he's gonna go back,
the Chargers make sense.
Chargers makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Chargers makes sense.
Mark Davis is throwing the wallet at him. I mean, he don't give a fuck. He has a lot of money. He throwing the wallet. Yeah, but at that's
Antonio Pierce has really done everything he can to ensure that that's his spot. And after they already screwed up, I'm forgetting homeboys.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
When he was the interim coach and the Raiders went to the playoffs in 2020 or 2021,
mm-hmm.
And they messed that one up and they brought
Josh McDaniels in.
Yeah, you don't want to repeat history. I know Gruden, not Gruden, but Harbaugh's name is the big name, but Antonio Pierce really brought the Raiders culture mm-hmm. back into play.
And whoever goes in, they need to keep him on staff. If right. they bring in somebody, they need to keep him on staff.
Well, what the problem is, if you bring somebody in, it's a slap in the face.
That too.
So bringing him on staff, that's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to retain him back. You have to bring him back as the head coach.
True. True. He personified Raider culture.
Yeah.
So
I could also see, honestly, I can see Harbaugh with the Falcons.
You think so?
Yes. They have everything in play.
Mm.
They got Bijan Robinson.
They got
Drake London. And they got Kyle Pitts. They just need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And there's a quarterback that's out there.
Like they got Wilson. A lot of quarterbacks out there.
Russell Wilson.
Well, no. This is a quarterback-heavy draft.
The fucking draft. Yeah, that's true. That's true. A lot of receivers, a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes.
Oof.
I can see Jim Harbaugh going to the Falcons.
I can see him going to the Chargers. Just don't go to Seattle.
The only reason, so the Chargers, obviously, with Herbert there, that's
yeah,
key.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
that is key. The only thing is, they'd be $35 million in cap hell.
Ugh, really?
Yeah.
Never mind.
So they'd have to do a lot of
restructuring. He has to start rebuilding.
But their defense would be set with Khalil, Bosa,
if he's healthy,
Samuels Jr. Darwin, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got the offense in play. It's there. You're walking into a situation where you got to restructure.
Mm-hmm.
Versus you go to the Falcons, a lot of young talent, and you got a wide open door with a quarterback.
That's exactly what I was in Atlanta for the holidays. I was in an Uber, and I was just talking to the dude. He said flat out, we got a squad. We just need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah. Imagine Russell Wilson going there.
I can also imagine Russell Wilson going to Vegas. I can see a lot of things involving
Russell Wilson in Vegas or Atlanta. That's
yeah,
that's comedy.
God has a sense of humor.
That's God's sense of humor. Right. I can see him in both of them.
And then you had Nick Saban retiring from Alabama.
Whew, that end of an era. Belichick and Nick Saban, one retired. The other one got forced out. But wow.
Right.
That's another end of an era.
And then Kalen DeBoer, who was the head coach from Washington, who made it to the championship game. Mm. He then took over for as the new head coach for Alabama as of today.
They replaced him with the quickness too. That's that business, man.
I'll tell you, when that transfer portal opened up in college, the head coaches had to make a decision. They were like, look, man, we can't wait around because players is moving.
Mm-hmm.
Players is moving.
I was talking about with Belichick and Nick Saban, their replacements came in with the quickness.
Yeah.
That's, man.
Oh, yeah.
Job speeching, man. You do everything for that shit. They already have your successor waiting for you.
Football is big business.
Seriously. Ah, man. This was a weird season. It was a very entertaining season of football.
Yeah.
It really was on both ends, on college and the NBA and the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just happy my Niners are in it, you know. Brock, put some respect on Brock Purdy's name. That's all I say. Just put some respect on his name. Christian McCaffrey, running like the white boy that he is, MVP candidate. Fucking all the main Niner players have it. Like, Brock at 4,000 yards, passing yards. Debo, Ayuk. No, not Debo. Ayuk and Kittle have 1,000 yards receiving. And Christian McCaffrey got 1,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, man, this is some gnarly shit.
Yeah.
We'll find out in February who's going to be there. Usher going to be there.
He definitely is.
Yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
What's next on the docket?
Cat Williams.
And I've been waiting, baby.
Boy, that shit aired. I saw Club Shay Shay. I called Shannon Sharp. He said, this is the interview of the year. He said, I just got done wrapping up this interview with Cat Williams. This is the interview of the year. That was before it dropped. I'm at work, and I'm seeing quotes go down my timeline. And I was like, okay, I can't watch this, but I got to listen to this shit. Not even 10 minutes into this shit, this nigga was guns blazing. I text JC, you listening to this shit?
Bruh.
He got the... Like, Cat Williams had a lot to get off his chest. In the words of CM Punk, he went out to air out his grievances, and nothing was left off topic.
4 comedy specials and not one on Netflix or Tubi.
He said it 3 times just to emphasize that shit. 4 comedy specials and not one on Netflix or Tubi. I'm going to say it again.
And all I kept saying was, damn, Netflix is in the same company as Tubi now? Damn.
Yeah, I think he emphasized Tubi because it's free. You can get anything on Tubi. So if you're stand-up not on Tubi, you're not even funny enough to be on Tubi. You are not funny.
Nah, but I'm just saying, look how far Netflix done dropped, bro.
Netflix still standing.
Yeah, it's still standing, but not, it ain't standing next to Max. It ain't standing next to Disney.
Netflix is its own entity, man.
Shit, Hulu combined with Disney now.
This is one about damn... that. You didn't mention that. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Shit. Nah, Cat Williams put on a masterclass. I don't know if it was a masterclass. He was telling the truth, his truth. Nigga went at Kevin Hart. He went at Steve Harvey. He went at, who's the other nigga? Fuck, what's his name?
The devil.
The devil. Yeah, the devil. Dude, he's like, why are you saying all this shit about Shannon Sharp? Went and said, why are you saying all that about all these? These are some very powerful people. Don't you think something's going to happen to you? You think they can do something? What can they do that God, Satan can't do anything? I was like, oh my God. This interview dropped. It was like Kendrick's control verse because everybody responded to it, from Kevin Hart to Cedric Entertainer. Oh yeah, he was really going in on Cedric Entertainer. Fucking comedians that didn't. That Cat Williams didn't mention. Like, it was... Oh.
Ricky Smiley.
Yeah, that's who I... What did he say?
Ricky Smiley.
That's who he was talking about. Talking about Ricky Smiley. Yeah, that shit. Oh, my God. That was what? The first week of January. That's when that shit dropped. Set the year off right.
Then you had Dave Chappelle stand up.
What did you think about that?
He still got it, man.
It was kind of his weakest one.
I laughed throughout the entire
week. I mean, I laughed too, but it was just like...
I actually liked it better than the last one.
Than the closure?
Yes.
Because in the closure, he was talking to them. This one, he was just trolling.
And I don't even think it was trolling. I laughed.
No. Trolling the LGBT.
Oh, no. People. This one, I straight laughed.
Yeah.
This was funny.
This shit was funny, but I could tell he was just kind of phoning it in. For his standards, he was phoning it in. But no, I laughed, but I just feel out of all the Netflix specials, it was kind of his weakest one.
I laughed throughout. I didn't even get that. I was like, oh, no, this is hilarious.
Yeah, and then people still mad saying he's not funny. It's so wild. People are saying he's not funny now. It's hilarious. I'm like, this nigga has showed you who he was since the Chappelle show.
Not funny, but he still, every year, he still closes out every single year on Netflix.
This is the thing I don't understand. It's like, he showed you who he was. Since the Chappelle show, since all his stand-ups, he has shown you who he was. But then when he puts the mirror up on people he can make fun of black folks, white people, everyone. But as soon as he talks about certain, you know, people, all of a sudden, oh, you're not funny no more. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, nigga. But yeah, that was good. And then Stephen A. Smith. It came in threes, dog. Stephen A. Smith, for whatever reason, after the Cat Williams, the Cat Williams interview, this motherfucker, Jason Shitlock, decides to randomly bring up Stephen A. Smith during his rant and mention that he didn't write his memoir, like the book that his best-selling book that he has out right now, that he didn't write it and none of the shit really happened in it. He alluded to that. And I think after all these years, that got to Stephen A. Smith because it's like, okay, I'm done with this motherfucker. So
I had enough. I'm going to talk about that fat bastard. And the funny thing is, him and Dan Le Batard are friends, Stephen A. and Dan Le Batard. Mm-hmm. But the inside joke is that whenever he says something about a fat person, uh-huh, the people on Twitter always say, oh, he's talking about Dan Le Batard. So when he says, I'm going to talk about that fat bastard, all the pictures were of Dan Le Batard. Even though him and Stephen A. are good friends.
Yeah, he went in on Jason Shitlock. I'm going to call him. He went in on that white man.
And he went in and he said, I'm going to talk about that piece of shit.
And it's stuff that we already know.
You bitch.
I had to go talk to my
pastor.
My pastor and my best friends.
You could call him. It's like, I don't have their number, Stephen A.
But you could call them. Yeah, because he's using that voice, that little calming voice. Like he had all this pent up. Yeah. And before we recorded, he had more shit to say.
You thought I was done.
There's more. This nigga said, I'm only going to say this once. Never mind. I got more shit I want to say. Jason Whitlock is a shithead. And like, I barely ever want to talk about him, too. He's one of the few people, besides Spam, that I have blocked on Twitter. It's him and Candace Owens. I have them blocked. Shit. But man,
I took from Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle, and Stephen A. Smith. Mm. 2024, the truth shall be spoken.
Yes. And the words of CM Punk. Let's see if I can find that quote from CM Punk, because he said the truth too about the truth. If I can find it, because the truth is not a pretty picture. The truth is not pretty. It's not good looking. It's very ugly. But it's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
And the truth hurts. In the words of CM Punk.
My mere presence. I am the truth. And the truth is painful.
That's good. The truth is painful. 2024, the truth is painful.
I am the truth, and the truth is painful.
Yeah.
Got an election this year, the next 11 months. Oh, shit. We get to that soon when it comes. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's all I took from those three. And shout out to Shannon Sharp. Again, when we last spoke, he was a free agent, or he was approaching free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And boy,
he's with Stephen A. Smith on the first take.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of not as entertaining. It's entertaining, but it's not entertaining as him and Skip. Because it's just, you know, but because him and Stephen A. get along. And then I realize it's more fun when he's just getting on Skip Bayless, but it's still good. But then seeing Skip Bayless with fucking, what's his name? Richard Sherman, Keyshawn Johnson, sometimes Lil Wayne, which is just, you know, talk about football and then how they all just roast his ass every time he brings up the Cowboys.
Richard Sherman, don't talk to me like that, Skip.
He gets into the motions too when he talks to, dude. He be defending the Niners like a motherfucker, and it's just so wild to see. It's like, I used to hate you.
Give me a hell yeah!
Shit, man. Nah, but when football ends, they're gonna be struggling because they can't talk about basketball for shit.
Nah.
Like, my God. And I don't think, what's his name, Skip knows that yet.
Yeah.
Because when the season ends, they're gonna have to talk about basketball. I know Keyshawn doesn't know shit about basketball. Maybe Lil Wayne. Richard Sherman, no, he does not know. Good luck.
Quick basketball notes. Lakers suck, but they at least won the first in-season tournament. Detroit, they kept losing the Wingstop.
It was becoming biblical, yeah, the way they were losing.
They lost for 28 games in a row, then they finally won.
They should have kept losing. They would have made primetime because they could beat them.
The Warriors are...
Death of a dynasty. That's what I'm looking... That's what this season is. Death of a dynasty. They're going down. Oh, yeah. Before we left, Draymond Green, bring your ass to the stand. You have that? No?
Hell yeah!
Nope. Guess who's going to tell the lie? Somebody did this.
What's wrong with you, man?
It's a wild boy. I tried telling you.
I mean, I know, but
it's a wild boy.
This won't. How did it start? First, he choked out fucking Rudy. What's his name?
Rudy Gobert.
Choked him out because he was going off on fucking Clay. And it was the first seconds of the game.
It was like in the first 2 minutes of the game, 0-0.
This nigga went in there and choked his ass.
Got suspended 5 games. And then what else happened? Oh, yeah, Chris Paul's on the Warriors now.
Oh, yeah, that happened. Yeah. Broke his hand. Yeah. Fractured his hand.
I can't remember the last time we talked on what we talked about. In case we missed that, Chris Paul's on the Warriors now.
Yeah.
In case we missed that. But, yeah, so he chokes out Rudy Gobert. Sacre bleu. And then...
Tackled a nigga when he came back.
Then they were playing against the Suns, and he... What the hell did he do to...
talk about the Joseph, punch?
Yeah.
Talk about the punch?
Yeah.
Dude was on him, and then he just swung and pretty much punched him in the mouth. And right in front of the ref, right in front of his bench, and everyone was like, nigga. And then he's looking down like, what did I do? And it was like, I watched it like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, what persuaded you to do that shit?
Yeah, that caused the indefinite suspension. They weren't even like, we didn't even get like, just go.
Just get some help, dude. What's wrong with you? So then he was gone for how many weeks? Like a month, damn.
He was gone for like 13 games.
Yeah, it was like a month. And then he goes on his podcast. And almost spark note, I didn't watch all of it, but the one quote that came in my mind was that, yeah, man, I was in my man cave for like 2 weeks. And then my daughter came.
Not 2 days.
For 2 days. And then my daughter FaceTimed me and was like, Daddy, you're in the man cave. And I was like, wait, what the fuck is wrong with you? Then he said, yeah, Steve Kerr came and he was telling me to calm down and shit. But I was just about to retire at that point. And then I paused it. And I'm like, so they're telling you, you need to calm down and beat niggas up. And instead of, you know, taking accountability for it, you said you're just going to retire. then y'all cried together. Like, was it like the Kendrick Lamar, fuck right. you, nigga, fuck you, bitch, type of shit? Or, okay. And, yeah, now he's back with the Warriors now. The Warriors are just very bad right now. They're not like Oracle early 2000s bad, but it's to the point now where Steph is getting fed up. And now, according to the reports, everybody's on the table to get traded except for Steph.
Yep.
And that includes Klay. That includes Draymond, Wiggins, everybody. Everybody's on the table. Death of a dynasty. Right now, the Warriors. Oh, wow. The Warriors won. They're losing to Chicago. Klay Thompson at 30 points.
Raising that trade value.
Never mind. Never mind. Dynasty's still intact.
The truth is painful.
The truth is painful. Warriors are like, you thought? Klay Thompson had 30 points. They're like, you thought? My grandmother, God rest her soul, she's a Warrior fan. She's like, I don't know, baby. They're still winning. Okay, well, that aged well.
Jordan Poole with the Wizards and statistically having one of the worst seasons.
Now comes the reason. Now we know the reason why Draymond socked a bit his fucking jaw. Because the shit this boy been doing.
Statistically having one of the worst seasons plus minus wise ever.
Ever. And it's like, and you won a championship with the Warriors. God damn. And he just be throwing anything up. Like the one shit that, that one clip that went viral last year when he was, when the coach was going over the game plan and Jordan Poole was just pissed off. He wasn't paying attention. Hey, I got this. I got this. Fuck, man. Hi, what's going on? And then the coach just ended and he was just like, oh, what? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Awesome. Yeah, pretty much.
And now we got. Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Power's back. Oh, yeah. Just to let y'all know, the Hollywood strike is over. That was the last time we talked. The Hollywood strike is over. They got their money. The writer's strike's over. Everything's open again. Movies are out. Yeah, everybody's happy now.
Yeah.
But Raising Kanan, that's all I'm happy about. Raising Kanan. Oh, yeah, you can talk about Force. Because you told me you finished it up, right?
Man, that's that Grand Theft Auto shit.
Better than season one?
Yeah, a lot better than season one. Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, they announced Grand Theft Auto 6.
After how many years?
100.
When did PlayStation 3 came out? 2013?
Yeah. They announced it 10 years later. And then guess when it's going to come out? 2025.
On the PS5. It skipped the PS4. It went to the PS5.
Yeah.
Gonna be a couple too, but and he leaked out info too and shit like that,
right?
Good times, but yeah, Raising Kanan,
boy,
this is proven why this is the best Power, this is the best show out of the entire Power universe. You don't even have to watch the original Power to appreciate this show.
Yeah,
this show is really that damn good. Round of applause for 50 Cent making a fucking TV series out of his life. Yeah. Because this is good shit. What are some of your...
This nigga Ronnie, man.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Oh, man. Unique's brother.
Yeah. Well, y'all listen to this. Rest in peace, Unique.
Yep.
They killed Joey Badass's character just when I was getting used to him. And then he also...
Oh, well, he was running out of story.
That too.
I knew it was coming soon as his girl walked in and was like, I don't want to be a single mother. And I was like, oh, this nigga. Die.
This nigga gonna die. This nigga go. In the words of 21 Savage, this nigga gonna die.
I'm big dog. I'm big dog, nigga. Bam, bam. Boom, 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 boom.
Beat the shit out of him.
That nigga with a pipe. Pause.
Oh, gave him the pipe. Pause. And I was shocked.
Painful.
I was shocked when it happened. And I was just like, because I thought Joey Badass was going to, I thought Unique was going to kill Ronnie. So I'm like, okay. And then he hit him with the pipe. And I'm like, oh. I was like, okay. He could still maybe be alive. Maybe knocked out. Toss that nigga into the fucking forest. And I'm like, and then it zooms in on his face because, you know, he's all dead and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, blink. Blink, my nigga. And then went black. And I'm like, oh my God, they killed him. And then I looked at the title of the episode. And it said, "My Brother, My Keeper," or some shit like that. I think that's what that was the title. "My Brother, My Keeper," and I'm like, I should have fucking known he was gonna go. The title was right there.
This man Ronnie is one of the greatest menacing.
He's annoying.
He's one of the greatest menacing villains of all time in any TV series. When they said this man was watching TV he was watching the shows, but the TV was off. I was like, oh no, this
is nuts.
I now understand how Kanan in season two of Power. Went into this old lady's apartment that used to be Breeze's apartment, mm-hmm. and then just killed her because it used to be Breeze's apartment.
Yeah. Breeze,
I get it now.
Oh, yeah.
Eating cereal. Ronnie, where's Unique? He probably fucking rock.
Probably.
You got my Cheerios.
Which he was.
To be fair.
To be fair.
He was doing that.
Lucky motherfucker. I would have killed him too. He was fucking rock.
Now, the greatest line delivery so far of this series.
Oh, boy. Say it.
This man approached Kanan because he was trying to get to the bottom of why Unique ain't had no money for him, why he was sitting on bullshit with the work. Mm-hmm. And when he saw Kanan having his own work, he said, nah, nigga, you little nigga ain't got this much work. He said, so I want to know whose packages you moving. Who says shit about heroin?
Who the fuck talking about heroin? No, yo, not heroin. It's heroin.
Who says shit about heroin?
I rewind that.
And I've been waiting,
he
baby.
Is now, little Curtis. So what? 50 watching that, like, I don't talk like that.
Who the fuck talking about him?
How many things? I know they had to laugh. The way he said it. Oh, they put that on a shirt. Who the fuck do we? And ever since then, me and JC's been using it on everyday life. Everyday thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we, you know, too much has gone on with the whole Puff Daddy situation, so ain't no need to go into detail with that. But 50 doing work for the people. And making his own personal Instagram page, you know.
Literally dedicated to Russ and Diddy. He's been waiting for this day.
So he said in 2024, he going to be a man of positivity. And then TMZ said he immediately in 2024 then went after Puff Daddy. And he said, I was told you I was going to do something about positivity. So I immediately DM Busby the picture of young Kane and said, who says shit about positivity?
Who the fuck talking about positivity? We've been using it in our everyday language. Can we get a press check? Who the fuck talking about press check?
James Winston going in. Who says shit about victory formation?
you gotta just use the but the heroin line. It's not heroin. It's heroin. Why did he say it like that?
Fronting your package.
Who says shit about heroin?
And then walks off like. I bet 50 watched that and he was just like, I don't talk like that.
Nah, bro. I know you said you didn't watch the episode last
night. Yeah, I hella forgot, man.
It's just, it's not funny. Ronnie is indirectly the most funniest character on this fucking series. He took over from Marvin.
Oh, as the really? Funniest
character.
Really? Okay.
There's no way for me not to spoil it for you, but I have to. Okay. Because you know, obviously, he takes Kanan under his wing.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spoil all that stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when he approaches Kanan. Mm-hmm. To get him to show up,
mm-hmm.
He goes to him and he goes, I see you working, nigga. You gonna wanna come to, I'm throwing a party tonight. You gonna wanna be there. He goes, why the fuck would I wanna come to a party? Everybody gonna be there, nigga. You gonna wanna be there. And he just turns around, he walks away.
Wait. Oh, he said it just, I know he's. I guess he's
going to tell the lie. Somebody did this.
You wanna be there? Turn around.
So I see you out here working, nigga. I might got some work for you. Throwing a party tonight. You gonna wanna be there? Why the fuck would I wanna go to the party? Everybody gonna be there, nigga. You just turn around, walk away.
See, I told JC this. I don't like this nigga. He's annoying. He's like, he's annoyingly crazy. Like, he's just crazy just to be. I know he's crazy just to be crazy. It's one of those, like, okay, for example, in the first Indiana Jones movie, you remember that one dude who had the sword? He's going all crazy, and Harrison Ford just shot that nigga? That's what I want to do to Ronnie. Like, man, shut up. Get the gunshots, too. Shut up.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
It's like, man, just one gunshot to the head. Like, shut up, nigga. Like, what the fuck you gonna talk about? Man, shut up!
No, I had to pause it and I had to rewind it. Because it was just so funny.
I got something going on. Don't party tonight. You gonna wanna be there.
And it's like, do you not know this nigga like 16 years old? He can't get into the party.
Why would I wanna show up to your party? Everybody gonna be there.
He just looked at him, he just walked away.
And then walks off. Like, okay. I wonder how, like, this is season 3, right?
Yes.
Man, I keep forgetting we're in season 3.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering how long they can keep this show going. Because when is Ghost and them going to show up?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. The way this episode ends, you're like, okay,
we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I was saying, Breeze might be showing up soon.
Yep.
So, oh, man.
Yep.
Oh man, this is great. That's what I'm saying. Everybody needs to watch Raising Kanan, man, because you honestly do not have to watch Power to really appreciate it. watching Power is just the icing on the cake for this show.
Yeah.
It's like the icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Then after this is over.
BMF.
Oh, yeah.
Just pure.
Oh, yeah. There is powerful niggardry at work here.
You think I want to go on Stars to watch movies? Who the fuck talking about movies? It's the kid 50 Cent. This is the 50 Cent Network. That's what this is.
Absolutely.
I've been telling myself I'm going to rewatch the original Power. Mm-hmm. I keep telling myself that, but then more shit just keeps coming out. It's fucking annoying. Ugh.
Well, Mandalorian is going to go to the big screen.
About damn time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they pretty much confirmed Ahsoka season 2.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what they're going to be focused on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically Clone Wars. But, yeah, we can talk about that. How'd you like Ahsoka?
Good.
Mm-hmm. You like the Anakin episode?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that could be like a standalone episode. I could rewatch that episode.
That shit was funny.
Which part?
Just I'm here to retrain you, and then she's going along with it, and then after a while she's just like, ah, nah, I let you down. You still ain't learned. This nigga pull out the red light. I tried to be nice to you.
No. He's like, I tried to be again.
You must want to die.
You must want to die. Oh, this bitch gonna die. You lack conviction. I like when you said that shit. That shit was fire. That whole episode was just, I wish I, and then, you know, you're going through what you're going through. I'm like, nigga, I just want to tell you. You're like, no, don't tell me. Little nigga, don't tell me. I was like, damn. That was great shit. That was good, man.
That was real good.
What's next?
You want to dive into albums from last year real quick.
Well, it was a very weak year in albums, man.
It was.
Very weak to the point where it was just like, where an album that dropped in December of last year was my album of the year. You know what that album was? It was SZA's album.
Oh, I made it all the way through.
Yeah. I realized, I was like, wow, I really listened to this album literally all the way through. And I was just like, yeah, this is it. And Nas's album, Magic 2 and 3, was dope. Victoria Monet, Jaguar 2, that was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Leon Thomas, Electric Desk, Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz, Welcome to Collie Grove.
Yeah.
That was my shit.
Oh, man, you talk about 50. 50 showing up to narrate. I was like, man.
We're talking about Collie Grove. But the album that I played the most when it came to rap, it was Doja Cat, Scarlet.
I gave it a spin. I appreciate it. I like the fact you did a rap album.
Mm-hmm.
Just, of course, you know, content-wise, I was like, yeah, I'm not. That's not what I'm looking
for. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I get it. To me, that album was amazing. She carried that whole album by herself. I give her a lot of props.
Yeah, no, again, that was one of the better projects. That was definitely one of the better projects that she dropped. Like, so, objectively, nah, that was up there.
Yeah.
Just on the replay value for my ears. Just as a man.
Oh.
I can't relate to what she was talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I appreciate a woman who could listen to it and, you know, like, you know, from that setting, you know, content wise, that just.
Then you had Travis Scott with Utopia. Then Don Toliver with Lovesick. That was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, I don't know if you listened to it, but it was Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia, Scaring the Hoes.
Yeah, I didn't get to that one.
That is a very unique listening experience. When you listen to it, you got to just take it for what it is. I don't know why I like it. I just fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Diddy dropped the R&B album.
He did.
That's what sucks about this shit. It's a great R&B album. You got Justin Bieber on a good ass track, man. Like, Terrence Martin and James Fauntleroy dropped. Lil Lottie actually dropped a good album.
He did.
And Janelle Monae, The Art of Pleasure, and Metro Boomin with the Across the Spider-Verse shit. That was great. Now, there was one other album that dropped, which was the most talked about for all the wrong reasons, and that was Aubrey with For All the Dogs. And honestly, during that time period when the album dropped, I wish we would have came back so I could talk about it, because I had so much to say about it. But now that we're back, I have nothing to say, because everybody already said that me, JC, and Martine have been saying for the past few years about that nigga.
This is who he is.
Got to the point, I told JC this, but it got to the point when I first listened to the album, when it got to the halfway point, I took my phone out and I was just like, well, how much longer is this? how much longer is this? And I never did that before for a Drake album, not even for Scorpion. JC told me the shit was trash. It was by far the worst album of the year, but the most talked about for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it was a chore.
And you never said that. You never said that about a Drake album. That's, oh man, it got so bad. I made my own version of it, and then I listened to it pissed off because Drake should hire me to sequence his albums. Because, boy, First Person Shooter was dope with him and J. Cole.
Yeah,
J. Cole ripped the fuck out of him.
Yeah,
and then how Drake responded to this shit when he was just dissing everybody, dissing Joe Budden, dissing other commentators, like other YouTubers and reviewers for dissing the album. It was very un-Drake-like because he's never done that before,
right?
You know, and I could have a whole rant, but no energy. It's a new year. I don't want to talk about that nigga. Even though he said he's gonna go on and he's gonna have a mini retirement so he can sit down and recharge, quote unquote. But then he's about to go on tour with J. Cole. He dropped Scary Hours 3, which was an EP of him but rapping over boom bap beats from Alchemist, Conductor, and hella other niggas.
How many was that? Six?
Six records, yep. Yeah. It was really good. It was like rapping wise, it was by far one of his best rapping albums. If he would have released that by itself, it probably would have made my list, but it didn't. He connect it's a deluxe edition. He attached it to For All the Dogs.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, nigga. Shout out to Overcast. That's another nigga. He produced on the album. He's from Oakland. He actually has an EP out, and it's actually quite good. From Oakland. Pretty dope.
Yeah, musically, I listen to what I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't make a list.
Don't blame
for 2023. It was just kind of listen what you listen to. If anything, my number one project for 2023 was probably Gracie's Corner. Because of Giannis. That's probably that. It was just one of those years where it was like, I don't know how to describe it. Mm. I really don't. Like, music came in abundance. Mm-hmm. But nothing really stuck.
Nothing stuck at all, bro. It was like every day it would just be like a whole fucking drought. And like music would drop and music I don't care about.
Right.
And it was just even the singles, like it was just lackluster music. And then we were all expecting Drake to drop something because he was like the biggest one. Like, okay, let's see what Drake got. And then he dropped some fucking mid. And it was just like, that's why people got real fed up. It's like, dude, you're supposed to be one of the three-headed monsters and now you're dropping mid? And he pulled a whole Kanye. It's like going on tour and saying, yeah, the album's coming. And it didn't come.
Hey, but shout out Larry June.
Shout out to Larry June, yeah.
Two projects, and both of them are dope.
Oh, yeah. They're all dope. Oh, yeah. They're really dope. I like that.
Yeah.
I like Larry. Yeah, Larry June was pretty good. West Side Gun dropped an album. A few albums. Last year.
I like Jeezy's attempt with it being the double project.
Oh, yeah.
I say attempt because the first half was like, okay, cool. But it was really the second half where I was like,
well, yep. Justice League.
Yeah. Like, yep. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Only thing I didn't like is he crunched them all together. And right. You have to literally like know where to go so you can listen to certain parts of the album and shit.
Right.
I wish I could have sat with it more. But then it got to the point where I was just like so tuned out with all the music that dropped. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want to record because there was nothing to talk about. There was no drama that happened besides Drake acting like, oh, pussy. It was just blah. Yeah. It was just blah. But music did drop. I'm not going to go into it, but 21 Savage dropped an album called An American Dream, which is based off a movie trailer with Donald Glover and old boy from Fresh Prince that plays Will Smith.
Yeah, and Caleb, what's his name?
Yeah.
I forget his name, but look his name up, please, because it's important to.
Yeah, we got to get his name. Oh, Bel Air, not Fresh Prince. That's what they call him. Yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Like, what the fuck's his name?
No, not his name. The one that plays Young 21 Savage.
Oh, the one that plays Young 21 Savage. Yeah. Oh, old boy from Strangers.
Yeah.
From Stranger Things. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Where you at? Caleb McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good too. Man, he's a grown ass man now. They're just now filming season six now.
Yeah.
Oh, five, whatever the case.
Yeah, definitely want to sit with that 21 album.
Oh, that's really good.
Before I come back and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Who else dropped?
There was that R&B album that dropped at the top of the year that you recommended that I listened to. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. What's her name? Azizi Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's from Oakland.
Yeah,
that was she's from Oakland. Got stumbled across the album, actually. Got highly recommended from it. Really good R&B album. Really good with the blues and Purple Tears. Put Me On vinyl. And Nobody Knows. It was a real smooth R&B album. As of right now, it's one of the best R&B albums this year, to me.
Yeah, that was a good album.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably something else. Oh, Big Hit and Game.
I've been meaning to listen to that.
That was actually pretty damn good.
They said they made that shit on some fluke shit.
Yeah, they went in there to do a remix on the the Gang Banging remix. Mm-hmm. They ended up coming out 4 days later with a damn project.
Yeah.
Hit Boy be working. And shout out to I like what he's doing with his pops.
Yeah.
Pops came out of jail and he's like, his pops had a dream to be a rapper, and he was like, all right, let's get back to work.
You know, another album you should listen to is Jason Martin, aka Problem.
Yeah. He dropped album. No, I got that one.
He dropped the director's cut of his album, Compton Story.
Yeah, Compton Story was good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Conrad the Machine and West Side Gun dropped Hall & Nash too. They dropped that right before New Year's. So. I listened
to that. It was cool.
Yeah. And Nicki Minaj dropped Pink Friday too, which to me, that was one of her best projects since Pink Print, in my opinion. Dude, I got to tell you the story. So I was at one of my bars that I go to. Shout out to DJ Tussie. And his boy, one of our mutual friends came in and was like, yo, you need to play that Everybody by Nicki Minaj, bro. You need to play that shit, bro. He was with his girl and shit. And Tussie was like, yeah, okay. So party's getting going, shit's getting cracking. And then Tussie mixes in Everybody. And old boy was sitting down, and it's like he caught the Holy Ghost. He was just like, stop it, stop it, stop it. I just went, oh my God. I was like, Nicki got one. Guess who's going to
tell a lie? Somebody did this.
That Everybody record with Lil Uzi, that's the one. That's the one for her.
No, that's a good record.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a good record.
She got a few ones on there.
I like the one with 50.
Oh, yeah. Even though that's like on a bonus track. But yeah, I like the one with Drake too. Apparently that was supposed to be for on his album, but he gave it to Nicki and kept that Bad Bunny record. Give me a yuck. Yeah. But... yeah, man. Music was cool, but...
All right, new year. I don't like doing resolutions, so I usually pick a word of the year. And this year, I'm going to wait until January's over to pick my word of the year. I'm actually kind of scouting for the seed to check the temperature of the month. Thanks to Cat Williams and Stephen A. Smith, I'm kind of having an idea of what the temperature is for 2024, but I'm going to give it a few more weeks for me personally. But... goals and predictions for 2024.
Goal for me is to be what could be at content with everything, not trying to rush stuff.
Okay.
Just go with the flow. I mean, I've always gone with the flow, but sometimes I'd be rushing and worrying about stuff. I'm very content on stuff. They ask me, what do you think? What are you going to do? Because I just turned 36 last year and I was just very just content with it. So that's my mindset going into it. Just be very content. And I got other goals and aspirations I want to get to that I don't want to say on here, but very content with stuff in 2024.
Yeah.
Predictions? Don't want to say the Niners. No, I don't want to say that because there's a curse out there, so I don't want to say it out loud. nigga. I don't even want to talk about it. I might want to kill that. But I would say when it comes to music, I have a prediction that Drake is going to, he's not going to go on his hiatus. He's going to drop another album, but people are not going to be scared to drop on the same day as him anymore. His peers are not going to be afraid to drop on the same day. They're going to drop not with the intent of outselling him, but dropping better quality of work. So when people look back, they're going to be like, yeah, you dropped on the same day as Drake. That album was better. So I really feel people are like someone like a Joey Badass or J.I.D. You remember when J. Cole dropped on the same day as Kanye?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen with Drake.
Yeah.
He's not with the intent of outselling him, but just people remembering that day, like, yo, he dropped a better album than Drake that day. I predict that's going to happen. But that's pretty much the only one I really have. Oh, yeah. And 45 is going to lose to 46 again. It's going to be worse. You take that for what you want, people.
Hmm.
What about you?
I have no predictions right now. I really haven't been paying attention to entertainment. So I don't really, there's no predictions. Mm-hmm. But in terms of goals, I definitely have several goals.
Mm-hmm.
One of those goals for me is to continue what I've been building on in reassessing and learning about myself in therapy.
Mm.
Had some good sessions over the past few months. So just keep building upon that. Second one is once I, you know, reclaim that and re-pouring myself is obviously pour from within myself to pour in to Giannis and build on fatherhood. Work on putting my phone down in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
As good as I've been in making sure I've been giving him attention, there's been times where I haven't been giving him undivided attention. So I just want to work on doing that. And then doing more spontaneous adventures with him. There's times where I'm focused on making sure everything is put in schedule and goes according to schedule. And really, as good as that is, sometimes life needs to be spontaneous. So I want to work on doing that. I want to work on reading 10 books this year, from February to November. So basically a book a month and getting back into that.
Mm.
I also want to do build muscle. I did a good job of losing all this weight the last 2 years. So now I need to start working on building muscle. And then I do have a number goal in terms of saving into my account. I won't put that out on air, but definitely savings. Stack, stack, stack. And that's 2024.
Stack on stack on stack.
Yeah. A lot of
racks on racks on racks.
A lot of self-improvement and then yes, building on fatherhood. That boy is 8 months old now.
Man, he big, got hair now and shit.
He always had hair, but now it's
really like puffy. Poofed. Now. Yeah, it's poofed.
Poofed out.
Mm-hmm.
Morphed into a mini me.
Yeah, literally. But yeah, that's your kid.
Yep. Yep. Mannerisms are just like me now.
Mm-hmm.
I keep telling people it's humbly hilarious because he'll do something and I want it and it's like, ha, that's like me. And then at the same time, it's like, oh wow, I really do that. Oh. Oh, that's how I act. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, oh wow, that's how I. Mm. Mm-hmm, okay. Let me clean that up. But it's cool. He does a good job at imitating.
Mm.
So I'll do a burp. He'll or he'll try to growl. He already tries to do like lion growls. Still trying to wait for him to crawl, but he'll leverage himself up with my fingers to stand up already.
That's cool.
I'm thinking about having him start his own dang podcast, do like 5-minute episodes every 3 weeks because he's a talker.
Mm.
I mean, he's babbling now, but he babbles all day. And I'll talk with him. Like, I'll let him talk. I can have a conversation. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but
baby language.
Man, you can't tell him I don't know what he's talking about. I feed his intellect. Full fledged conversation. that's cool. It's really, really, really cool to just be a part of another human being's development and to be the nurturer and to be the one that is there to ensure that development goes according to plan. That's really, really dope. Fatherhood is dope.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah. I don't get how, like, I mean, I said this, you know, I said this before I became a father, and I definitely said it on air. Like, you know, I don't understand fathers and parents in general who don't want to be around like their kids or whatever. I just don't even get the aspect of, you know, the ideology when parents are like, oh, you know, it's good. You know, I just, you know, there's days I just don't even, you know, there's days I want to take a break from being a parent. I'm like, I don't get that either.
I don't understand that logic.
I'm like, even when I want a break, I'm like, I just need a break. It's not a break from being a parent. I just need a, you know, it's like break. It's like being on the bench for like a game. It's like,
seriously,
I don't need a break playing. From I don't need a break from being a player. I just need a quick breather. Break. Yeah.
I need a break. Get some yeah. water and shit.
Right. But it doesn't mean I need a break from being a parent.
Seriously. Like, but
yeah, I just need a break.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Oh yeah. Before we leave, that movie, The Book of Clarence, came out. I didn't see it yet, but the soundtrack came out.
Oh wow!
And it was and the last song on there, the song with D'Angelo and Jay-Z. It's like a 9-minute record.
I heard Jay only did like 10 bars.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't even rapping. It was on some spoken word shit. I wasn't mad. I was just like, he really just. It sounded like he just walked in the studio and old boy like, yo, rap over this. Old was like, oh, all right, shit. But before we leave, this is, you know how times done change, bro. Hot 97 in New York premiered that record, right? Nobody knew it premiered on Hot 97. They posted it on Twitter. It didn't get no retweets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say times didn't change. I thought you were going to say Hot 97 is now the equivalent of KBLX here.
Well, you might as well say that too, yeah. Nah, it premiered there, and then on Twitter, nobody retweeted it. Nobody even ripped the audio. You know, back in the day, people used to rip the audio.
Oh, yeah.
Premiere.
Oh, God,
nobody
yeah.
ripped the premiere.
Eh.
And I was just like, what the fuck? And apparently they posted the podcast. It was on the Ebro in the Morning shit. They posted like the episode, and it was at the very end. They only played like a minute of it, of Jay-Z's verse. And I'm like, nobody ripped this? And I was thinking about ripping it, and I'm like, oh, I'm giving engagement to y'all. Y'all got to pay me.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because no one's retweeting this. I let the people know about it. Then it started getting traction when people knew about it. But I was like, shit, times have changed. This is 10 years ago. If this was like 10 years ago, that shit would have been ripped already. It would have leaked already. But times have changed, baby.
Yeah.
Keith Lee.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're going to end with this. First of all, shouts out to Keith Lee.
Not the wrestler. The food kid on TikTok.
Yeah. Shouts out to Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Major props to what he's doing. He's uplifting communities, uplifting businesses. I don't understand the hate for what Keith Lee's doing. I don't respect the hate for what Keith Lee is doing at all. Mm-hmm. I support what that brother, everything that he's doing. You know what I'm saying? When he said he was coming out to the Bay.
Uh-oh. shit.
My first question was,
what part
of the Bay are you coming to?
I was hoping he was going to go to San Francisco.
I was hoping he wasn't going to go to San Francisco.
Because I knew if he goes to Oakland, something bad was going to happen.
I was hoping he was going to go to Oakland. I just didn't know where in Oakland he was going to go. I found out where in Oakland he went. On one hand, I was happy. Then I found out which area around Oakland he went. And I was like, yeah, that's why he ended up leaving.
He went out here, came out to Oakland, because he always goes to his whole thing. He wants to go to mom and pop spots and help, you know, drive their revenue, open their business and shit. He went to the wrong mom and pop spots, and he said it got to the point where all the food he was getting was pretty much trash. And he made hella videos, but he felt he shouldn't have posted it because it was just like, shit. So he said he ended up cutting his visit to the Bay short because he ended up eating crawfish, and he told him that he's allergic. Is it crawfish or shrimp?
Shellfish.
Shellfish. He's allergic to shellfish. And he told them that, and they told him, oh, no, it's not on there, but it ended up being on there, and his whole face puffed up, and he had to go to the emergency, and he ended up leaving. And I was just like, oh. There are so many spots he should have went to out here. Guap Dad
$4,000.
He tried to say, like, hey man, we tried to give him the PDF of where to go to, and where did he end up going?
He said they gave him the PDF, which was I think a few pages long. So they shout out to Guap. Yeah. Did his due diligence. He said, you niggas sent him to Highland.
Guess who's going to tell the lie?
Somebody did this.
Places.
The ghetto.
Don't leave it that. Not good spots.
No.
You sent him to the opposite of where he was supposed to go.
Yeah.
That's how you send them to an establishment where they don't care, but that you got an allergen to shellfish. And they just going to cook out the same damn pot with that they just cooked out the shellfish.
Yeah. That boy could have went to...
Now, to be fair, he also said that the reason why he decided to leave wasn't the fact that he had to go to the hospital. He said he was driving down the streets and realized that the economy...
It's very bad.
He said, you know, driving around tents and this isn't a tourist situation. They're struggling. It says a lot because this is the same Keith Lee that grew up in Detroit.
Lives in Detroit.
Like we keep saying, Busby keeps forgetting that this nigga Draymond is from Detroit.
Yeah. And he acts like he's from Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, this nigga's from Detroit. And he was like, oh, wow, this is the ghetto. I got to go home.
Mind you, he made a video of when people were telling him, "Yo, Bay, you gotta chill. Don't be bipping this nigga. Like, relax." And he made a video and he was like, "Look, you know, I appreciate y'all for the warning, but you know, I'm from Detroit. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Detroit, and you know, I I'm a beginnings. You know, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. And then he made a video saying,
"I had to cut my trip short. I had to cut my trip short."
I gotta say is, hey nigga, the truth is painful.
Truth is painful, boy.
We live rough. Hey, brother, hey, we try to tell you, man, California out here, dog. Hey, try to tell you, a studio apartment is $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could have went to so many places.
I ain't seen him go to one. And again, I'm not here to bash Keith Lee. So we're making that perfectly clear. Yeah. We still support Keith Lee.
Yeah.
This is no fault of Keith Lee. He clearly got some bad information. I don't know who told him to go to that burger joint because I ain't never heard of that damn burger joint. For one, I don't know what them damn wings look like. I saw better wings at Safeways and Lucky's than I've seen at wherever he got them wings from. So again, we're not taking shots at Keith Lee.
There's so many places.
I ain't see him with one burrito.
You would go to one Asian spot.
Yeah, I ain't seen him with no pisole.
He didn't go to La Vitz.
He definitely didn't go to the Iguanas. Well, I don't think he even made it to down here to South Bay.
He should have.
Definitely could have hit Jackie's place.
But that's an established place.
But see, that's the thing. Sometimes you gotta hit established spots first and then hit the mom.
And then hit the mom spots. Black woman. Like it's just the fucking principles. Like,
yeah, sometimes you gotta hit the established spots, then they'll tell you where to hit the mom and pop.
Yes.
Because think about it, he could have came out here to South Bay. He could have ran into the Yonix and them real quick.
Yes,
he could have ran into Tank shit. Like they could have
told him where to go. Yeah. Mr. Fab, where were you? you could have shown him some spots. You could have drove him around Oakland.
I did hear he made it to Vallejo. I did hear he made it to Vallejo. Because that was the thing, too. Okay, so here's the thing about the Bay. I ain't gonna front. Some of these spots, too, you do have to bring your own seasoning. And you do got to bring your own hot sauce. When I say you bring your own hot sauce, you got to bring, like, four of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is the Bay, and they done gentrified a lot of these places. So, as good as it is, sometimes it's good because we make it good ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you do got to add that effect to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, if you just ask the right people,
we'll tell you where to go.
We would have told you where to go.
You could have went to Ike's Sandwiches, man. So,
like, what I'm trying to figure out is, like, the who's who. I'm trying to figure out if these is, like, transplants or if these is, like, real Baydestrians that told him where to go. Because I don't think these was real-life Baydestrians that told him where to go. And that just kind of upsets me.
It's the principle. Yeah. God damn it.
See, because when he went to Atlanta, Atlanta was wilding.
Yeah, they were.
So he was just going out there like telling them, like, hey, y'all wilding. When he came out here, he was like, hey, man, I got to go.
I got to go.
I got to go.
He's nigga. Nigga. He said, I have to. Atlanta, y'all wilding. He came to Oakland and said, I got to go. I got to go back to Detroit.
I gotta go back to Detroit where these niggas is losing a Wingstop.
This is making me mad.
Did you meet Demmer? Is that why you left?
Shout out to the Bay, man. Shout out to the home. Shout out to the soil. Shout out to the soil. Y'all never the home soil just it never ceases to amaze me. The depths that we can go
to make ourselves look bad.
Yeah, I just don't understand, man. It just
blows my mind. I'm still sitting here mad. Like, I'm mad now. Like, oh, it's the fucking principle.
Niggas done ran all the teams out of Oakland.
Now you ran Keith Lee out of the Bay. Oakland ran the Oakland teams out the Bay. Ran the Warriors to Frisco. Ran the Raiders and now the A's to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you ran Keith Lee out the Bay. Man. No, don't come to LA. Don't go to Oakland.
Man.
Only thing they got left is that damn arena, Oracle, or the Oakland Arena.
My G might be onto something, man. Rest in peace to myself.
We may not get Kendrick Lamar concerts out here no more, man. When he drops his next album, whenever.
Yeah.
Let's go to Oakland. No, Kendrick. Go to San Jose. Go to Frisco. Like that part of Walter White in the car. No! This is episode 301 of the most consistent podcast.
Somebody did this.
This is episode 301.
I guess we got a 5 month break. We come back to this shit.
We'll take another 5 months off. 302. It's 6 months. Y'all, it's a damn teenager now. This is episode 301 of The Illogical Sense. You can always follow me on Twitter.
Find me on Twitter.
At Mr. Busby 4, lowercase 08. You can follow us at Theological SP. You can always follow us on Instagram at Theological Sense. And, of course, on the Facebook.
Give me a hell yeah.
And of course, on all social media, you can follow me. You know, what is it? I'll just be on there. I post Giannis. I post fatherly things now.
You post fatherly.
Most fatherly things now. Star Wars.
Oh yeah, you watch.
I try to avoid the Lakers at all costs.
Are they a basketball team, or they're slowly becoming something? You know. Non-existent.
They were a clothing line last a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
they're a plague now.
Every time you see the Warriors play,
I am the truth, and the truth is pain.
And that's the thing; they got a worse record than us, and yet the Lakers are the plague. Like, damn.
I am the truth, and the truth is pain. Oh man, but
yeah,
we back.
Yeah. I don't know when 302 will come on, but we'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon.
We'll be back sooner than Keith Lee. I'll tell you that damn much.
I'm about to go to La Vix and just be angry. Like, why didn't you come here? While pouring orange sauce all over everything? You could have had the orange sauce, nigga.
Whole damn bucket is just orange sauce. Ain't in the burrito no more.
I am the truth, and the truth is painful.
On that note, we out.
Peace.
Peace.